I had a great Christmas message on patience today. So the next fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. You know that old joke, I need patience and I need it now. Would have been a great Christmas message. It's Christmas next week. I got to throw Christmas in here somehow or another. Since we didn't have a cantata and there's no sheep walking through the sanctuary. It would have been a great Christmas present, but you'll just have to wait till next time and maybe we'll talk on patience. Y'all are all looking forward to that one, aren't you? You're going to be patient and wait on patience. There you go. But during worship, I just felt the Lord just told me to share a little bit, so we're just going to share, just do some ad-libbing there and just see where the Lord takes it. And that was awesome worship, wasn't it? It was just so good. Appreciate the worship team and we honor them. That's bragging, honoring, sort of the same thing. That's a good thing to do. I want to talk to you about three different types of churches and where the Lord's trying to bring us into, and He is, just so you understand it. So this is sort of just a State of the Union address. It's modeled after the tabernacle. If any of you have seen pictures of the tabernacle from the Old Testament, it was a rectangle, and it had a room in the rectangle, and then there was a back room in the room. So there's three parts. You had the outer part, and then a building that had like a shotgun effect. Have you ever seen those old shotgun houses? You can't get to the kitchen until you walk through the living room. So there was an outer fence. It's called the outer court. Inside there was a building with two rooms. The first room was the holy place. The second room was the Holy of Holies. And it's very clear. There's a lot you can learn from the tabernacle. But I want to compare that to three types of churches that you see in America and compare it to us. In terms of land mass or square meters or square feet, the outer court was 92% of the total. So 9 tenths of it. So it was by far the biggest. The holy place was 8%, and then the Holy of Holies was 2%. I believe the Lord is raising up Holy of Holy churches. So that's my statement. And then what does that mean? Almost everybody, the Israelites, as far as they could go, was the outer court. There were two pieces of furniture in the outer court. There were seven total. Two pieces of furniture in the outer court. The first one, when you walked in as an Israelite, priest, high priest, anybody, you had to pass by the altar. And there was a basin there. The altar is where you put a sheep up there, or there was other things besides sheep, but that was the most common. You'd put a sheep up there, kill it with a knife, blood everywhere, and then there was a basin where the high priest could wash up from the blood all over him. That's as far as 92% of Israelites could ever go. 9 out of 10. It's even a smaller number than that. That's where most of them could go. That's where they sacrificed their sin. So how does this compare to churches today? All churches should be introducing people to Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on the cross and become Christians. These are churches that emphasize repentance, emphasize evangelism, emphasize getting people saved. All churches should do this. Most churches I've seen stay here. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Get saved, and get right with God and talk about the blood of Jesus. If you were a priest, which was only the men in one of the 12 tribes, the Levi tribe, you could then go into the holy place after you've been through an extensive school. And what the priest did and what the major goal of the holy place was is to read the word to the people at particular times during the day. they would get out on the stoop of the holy place and read the scriptures and teach the people. So that sort of reminds you of this, doesn't it? Sort of what I'm doing now. Give the word, read the word, give it to the people. This represents, there were several pieces of furniture in there. One of them was the showbread, which represents the word. Give bread to my people, give training to my people. There was also the candlestick. That was the only light that was in there. It was the menorah, the seven candlestick, which represented the Holy Spirit. We should be reading the word by the Holy Spirit, but then we give it to the people. So the people in the outer court, all they ever saw of God was the sacrifice and what they heard. That was 8% of the mass. So only 8% of the very small percentage could go in and actually read the word. And I think successful churches transition from just teaching on evangelism to maturing the saints. That's what the word does. Read the word, teach them how to read the word themselves, because it says we're all priests now in Revelation. It's not just one tribe out of 12. All of you can read the word. All of us are to be growing. This needs to never stop. All of us to be mature. All of us need to listen to the Holy Spirit or the menorah or the candlestick, which is representing the Holy Spirit. So a church can get you saved, but that doesn't make you a disciple. Making you a disciple is teaching you to read the word, apply it to your life, and listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'd say a good portion of churches do that. I don't think all of them, but a good portion of them do that. Well, we still got the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, the only one that could go in there was the high priest. That's where God actually was. Okay, now this is the heart. All I said was the background. There was no light in there except Him. 2% of the square feet footage. I believe the Lord, He's always wanted this, but for Relationship Church, He's opening the door and saying, do you want to just come and sing in the outer court, see Him in nature? Do you want to just come and be taught and grow and mature, which we should be doing and hearing the Holy Spirit? Or do you want to actually meet Me face to face? This is the key point. You can have a church that sings the praises of God but never meet Him. You can have a church that teaches the Word of God correctly under the light of the Holy Spirit, but you don't meet Him face to face. When you went into the Holy of Holies, there was the Ark of the Covenant. It's actually considered two pieces of furniture. Ark of a Covenant, where the Ten Commandments was, and Aaron's branch. We're not going to go into all that. That has some great symbolism. On top of it was a seat called the mercy seat, where two angels, you know, went across, and in the middle was the presence of God. I believe the Lord, He has started it. I believe the Lord wants every person in every church to not be an outer court church, a holy place church, which are good. He wants us to keep doing that, because you can't get to the Holy of Holies unless you go through those. But to be a church that is comfortable as much as you can with the presence of God, that's the only place you can meet Him face to face. And when He was on the cross, if you remember the story, there was a veil that was ripped from top to bottom. That veil is what separated the holy place from His presence. Only one person could go into the presence of God one time a year. That was a high priest, after a great ritual. But that was ripped. And since then, I think the challenge for Christianity is to actually not be satisfied with just praises, not be satisfied with just good teaching and maturing, not be satisfied even with just hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, but to meet Him face to face and have angelic encounters. I believe in 2018 we've seen a significant shift towards this, where we're giving space to encounters to see Him face to face. And I believe we've seen the door open and we've seen more. I believe in 2019, He's going to see if we actually want to walk across the threshold and see Him face to face, whatever that means, however that is. And that's why that veil was ripped 2,000 years ago. Now, do you see those differences there? There's nothing wrong with being an evangelistic church. We want to be an evangelistic church. There's nothing wrong with being a teaching church. This is what we're doing. We want to be mature saints of the Lord. But He didn't save us just to be mature. He saved us to meet us face to face. Now, this sounds cool, but this is not an easy transition. When you walk from a teaching church in or the holy place into the Holy of Holies, two things have to change. So this year, I'm prophesying over us for us to move more into this. Two things have to change. When they left the holy place with three pieces of furniture, the showbread, the table, the menorah, and you walked into the Holy of Holies, there it was a simplification. The room changed. It didn't look the same. And to be a church that is presence-based, the structure has to change. I don't know exactly how it will all change, but if it doesn't change, you stay in the room that you were in. Let's make this practical. Things may look differently in the structure of how we do stuff. Why? Because we have to get a different view. He doesn't move out of the Holy of Holies to where you are. To move to the Holy of Holies, you have to move to where He is. He came to us in the outer court and sacrificed Himself on the cross 2,000 years ago. He does come to us at that level. The priests come to us and teach. But if you want to see Him face to face, He doesn't come to us. We have to go to Him. Are y'all getting this? So that means we have to change. And simplicity is the essence of what's in the Holy of Holies. I just see this move more and more. I read a book years ago called Simple Church, and I read it and I thought, man, that's us. We could have written that sermon. You see this over and over of James McDonald's book, The Vertical Church, that the vertical should be first. More and more, I see the Lord stripping out activities from the church, not having as many programs, and letting Him be the program. As I said a few weeks ago, maybe I said it, I don't know if I said it or not. I can't remember. The Lord told me, because we're a very simple church in terms of structure. We do three things. Vertical is this, the gatherings. Horizontal is the groups. For the second commandment, the vertical is the first commandment, love God. The third is an implied relationship with yourself. It's to examine yourself, and it's the growth journey. That's all we do, to try to strip away. Because the Lord told me, He said, if you have a lot of programs, you tend to not go after His presence. Because programs, activities, distract from His presence. And often where there's no presence, you have a lot of programs. But it's a qualitative decision you have to make. And so I see us as we've been on this course, but 2018, more encounters with the Lord, more worship that's bringing in where we're seeing Him face to face, and I want to go after that. And I don't know what'll change, but I'm just telling you, prophesying that things have to change when you change rooms, and not be scared of change. What you're leaving behind, we don't really leave behind the Word and the teaching and the outer court. But it's a time where you come in and it's just a simpler thing. The other thing is this, that has to change is you. So the structures change and then you have to change. It's written as a type and shadow with the Old Testament priest, the high priest. The high priest had to go through a purification service before he went in behind the veil. He had to wear certain clothes. He had to prepare his heart, or he would die in the presence of God. Now, the nice thing is we don't die in the presence of God today. The grace and the blood of Jesus, that basin out there, covers us. But there is a purification. If you want more, this is how he does it. It's not a workaholic performance type of thing where you have to do all this stuff like the Old Testament priest did to get yourself ready. It's not that way. This is what you do. It's a little different. You say, Father, I want to see you. I want to walk with you. And then he starts moving towards you. You just ask. And as he moves towards you, he then reveals the garments that you have on, which is representative of our thoughts, our motivations, our hearts, are not right. And then you deal with it then. You don't have to get yourself ready before you go in. You say, because of the blood of Jesus, I can go in. Father, I want to know you better. I want to know your word. I want to praise your name. But I also want to see you face to face, as the Old Testament prophets did. The Old Testament prophets didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. They were a type and shadow. If they could see face to face, we can see face to face and be a friend and walk with him. And so what happens is, this is where most people fail. And this is what's going to, you'll see this pattern in 2019. Lord, I want to know you more. You'll even maybe see it in our worship service on Sunday mornings. You start going in, and all of a sudden, thoughts that you had going on during that week that maybe weren't right come up. Have you ever had that? Don't pull away. You're getting closer to the light that revealed stuff that he's going to remove. If he reveals it, he's going to remove it. Most people run, screaming, hollering, I don't ever want to get close to God again. So what happens is the stuff is still inside of you and you never become whole. We talked about an intercession this morning. Somebody brought it up, about walking through the fire and not just walking, jumping in. Well, what's the fire? It's the presence of the Lord. It's a lot of things, but mainly the presence of the Lord. So during worship, in your own private time, and here corporately, as it grows and the presence of God grows, many times things will be revealed. Well, that thought wasn't right. That motivation wasn't right. That action wasn't right. Don't run. Don't get under shame. Don't get under condemnation. Say, Father, I thank you. I'm getting closer to the light that's revealing stuff to me. I take it back to the outer court. I repent. I put it under the blood of Jesus, and then you keep moving forward. That's how you walk through the fire and increase the presence on you and go through the purification process that the high priest did. That's simple enough, isn't it? And so we're going to see that grow in 2019. And at the end of it, you're going to be able to stand in his presence more than you do now. And his glory will be around you more than you did now, because you walked into this, dealt with whatever he wanted you to deal with, and stayed there. Don't be like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden in Genesis 3:15. And then it said his presence came in the evening. What did it say it did when his presence showed up? They ran and hid themselves. This is the big battle for us as Christians today. Most Christians ask for the presence of God, ask for God to show up, and when he shows up, they run. Because the presence reveals that they were naked. You know, they said, hey, we're naked. You know, we got these little fig leaves. It doesn't actually say fig leaves. But for some reason, we always put fig leaves on it. And I guess because they're big, elephant ears or whatever, I don't know. And they ran from the presence. I see this today. Most people cannot handle worship more than three songs. I don't care if they're hymns or contemporary. I don't care if they're Charles Wesley or Bethel music. They can't handle more than that. Because the presence gets so strong, they don't know what to do with it. Let's move on to the next one. And I'm here to tell you, the music is not just for us to sing along like in the outer court. It's to usher us into the Holy of Holies. And that sometimes is uncomfortable until you say, Father, thank you that I'm a son or a daughter and you love me. I'm going to allow this music to go on. I'm going to allow it to penetrate me, to purify me. And I'm going to just stand in your presence. See, most churches' music is a warm-up for the message. That is not the alignment for now. I don't have time to go into it, but there's been three major movements in history of churches. The first one was with the Catholic Church. The center of the structure was the Mass. If you go into any Catholic church, the pulpit is not in the center, the table is. Then when the Lutheran Reformation came along, there was more alignment. The center was the pulpit. The message was the pulpit. And that's what God needed to restore. Why? Because they weren't even outer court Christians yet. They didn't even know how to get saved. And they needed the Holy Place Ministry to teach them. And if you go into, you know, traditional churches, older churches, you got this huge pulpit here because the center is the message. Well, what do you see here? You don't see anything here except something to keep my iPad up. It's gone. Why? Because the third thing he's doing is music is to be the center of churches. Not music in and of itself, but music more than anything brings you into his presence. Whenever you see pictures of heaven in the Bible, they're always singing. Whenever most people go to heaven, you hear the voices and the singing. Because the music focuses us on him. But this is the problem, is most people go, well, when are we going to start the message? Well, we got messages. I'm doing the message now. But what's the focus? If you're coming to just hear me, I mean, I guess that's maybe better than some other stuff you could be doing. But that's pretty lame. But if through this process today, we encounter God the Father in a way, maybe it's in the music, maybe it's in the message, maybe it's directly, in a way that we haven't before, then that's worth getting out of bed for on a rainy Sunday morning. But most people, we have to switch. Church is not bam, 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 get out to ease our conscience and to check off a box. If you want to be a presence-based church, you have to create a space, and we're doing that the best we know how. You have to create a space where he'll can actually get a word in edgewise. Is that too harsh? If you want him, you have to create a space where he can speak to us corporately or individually. Which means sometimes you're not quite sure what's coming up next. But this is how it is with the Lord. How many of you, when you go to prayer and you say, Lord, I need this, he immediately responds. Sometimes you have to say, okay, I need this, Father. Help me to be patient on your answer and wait for this and be anticipation of this. And he always does speak. But not necessarily on our time schedule. And so I'm excited, because I'm going after this thing of where I want to be a place where people not just want to hear, hopefully, great messages, hear great music, but they can say, if you want to meet God, come over here or hang around Becky or hang around Tori. They know the thing. Now, this is the thing. He just doesn't just happen like this. You have to learn how he flows and then pause and rest on him. Amen. Is that something? So in 2019, as his presence grows, don't run. Don't get scared. Just sit there and say, Father, what are you revealing to me? What do you want from me? Do in me your will. And that purification process will grow. And the glory will start hanging around you. What's the glory? The glory is just what he brings with him wherever he comes. His smell, his flavor, his just who he is. Have you ever seen, I don't see him much, but every once in a while, have you ever met somebody you go, man, they've been in God's presence? That's the glory that just left with them. You know, if you're around a guy or a girl that wears heavy cologne, have you ever walked away and you still smell this thing like 3 hours later because it got on your clothes somehow or another? And it reminds you of him. That's the same thing as the glory. Let's close in prayer. Father, help us to be people that run into your presence, that run into the fire. And even if it burns us up, we eagerly want to be in your presence. Because when all of us is burned away, we can even get closer to you. Father, I just pray today as we walk into 2019, in a couple, 3 weeks, I guess. We want to be people that are evangelistic and know the blood of Jesus. We want to be mature saints. But all of this is like a straight line to see you face to face. And I give you, as a leader here, I give you liberty to change our structure. I give you liberty to change me and the garments I'm wearing and the way I see, so that there is no hindrance, no veil between you and me. And we give you liberty. And each person here that wants that, we just pray it. Father, we want more of you. And whatever that cost is, we eagerly do it because the reward far outweighs the cost. Help us to be a place that your angels want us come in, and the mercy seat where you shine want to come in. And we just give you that liberty that when we exit a year from now in 2019, your presence and the encounters and the face-to-face, along with the maturity and the teaching and the worship, is too much to write down. In Jesus' name, amen. There's your Christmas present message.